everybody, it's your girl Coach Alonda Brooks, and you are now listening to I Am Becoming. I have the amazing gentle giant on the court and off the court, Mr. Brian Grant. Brian was an NBA idol known for his tenacious, rebounding, and fearless attitude on the court. During his 12-year career, he played for 5 teams and became a strong contributor to his surrounding communities. Today, Brian continues to inspire as a speaker, a philanthropist, and a patient who insists on thriving with Parkinson's disease. His mission is to help people become their best, even when it seems impossible. Brian started his career at Xavier University, where he was Player of the Year twice for the Midwestern Collegiate Conference. He was drafted in the first round, 8th overall, in 1994 NBA draft by the Sacramento Kings. His career continued with the Portland Trail Blazers, Miami Heat, Los Angeles Lakers, and the Phoenix Suns. During this time, Brian also served underprivileged youth and sick families in his community. His contribution earned him the J. Walker Kennedy Citizenship Award. In 2006, Brian retired from professional basketball. Only 2 years later, he was diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's disease at the age of 36. It was hard for him to believe that his athletic body couldn't push through the pain or get better with time. He was scared and humbled, yet fiercely determined to be as healthy as possible. This motivation launched the Brian Grant Foundation for those with Parkinson's who wanted to lead active and fulfilling lives. Since then, Brian has become a sought-after keynote speaker. Companies and organizations nationwide have drawn to his authenticity and captivated by his story that unites us as people, regardless of age and background. Brian is also on the Trailblazers Alumni Ambassador Corporation. He loves to fish, surf, and enjoys the mountains in Oregon. Brian learned from his coaches that you can't always control the ball, but you can control your effort. As a father of 8, he wants to show his kids that quality of life takes sweat, determination, but the results are always worth it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
I'm so glad to be here. And you know, before we get started, I just want to tell you it's an honor to be on here with you, first of all, because I love what you're doing, and secondly, because of your dad. You know, your dad was more than just a trainer. He was like a father figure to most of us, and I was this kid from a small town that didn't have two pennies to rub together, but he made sure I had a sports coat and some slacks to wear. So he played a major part in my life in college, for sure.
Yeah, I always tell people you guys are like, you know, my brothers from other mothers, because I definitely grew. I always tell people, like, I grew up in a locker room and they never believe me, but you can now vouch for that. Everywhere my dad went, I kind of was there. One of my fondest memories was going to Gentry's with you guys and going to K&G Men as he was getting you guys suits and stuff like that. And, you know, I know one of the things that he always vowed was to make sure that you guys, you know, turned out to be well-rounded men and that you guys got your education. And I know that he's very proud of all of you guys for everything that you guys have accomplished. So I was shocked to find out that basketball was not really one of your, you weren't really all about ball when you were younger. So I want to know, like, what was that like for you from not really being super into basketball to being able to have the opportunity to get into basketball a little bit more seriously after, you know, your cousins urging and then getting a scholarship to one of the best universities in the world. Like, how was that for you?
I would say it was a dream come true, but it wasn't my dream. It was the dream of my cousins, who knew all the teams, all the college teams, NBA. You know, I was at stay at home on the couch with mom watching movies because we were the first in our family to have a VHS recorder. But, you know, when opportunity showed its face, I always took it and always looked at things like, you know, I don't have anything to lose. And things just worked out. I ended up, you know, playing in high school and earning a scholarship to Xavier. And then from there, ended up having an NBA career.
So when you were at Xavier, you know, as your career was beginning to, you know, shape up, did you really think, like, did you have dreams of, like, really going pro? Or was it just something that you just really found yourself like, this is really happening?
You know, I didn't have any dreams. I didn't fool myself. You know, I thought if I dreamed that big, it was going to be a big letdown. I was happy that I was living in Cincinnati, had a place to stay, and was getting an education. And when that was finished, you know, I was ready to hit the workforce. And then I got called into Pete Gillen's office and met with three agents. One convinced me to go to these camps, and the rest is history.
So what was your career choice by per se that you were going to, what did you get your degree in, if you don't mind sharing that?
Now, I got a bachelor's degree in organizational communications, and maybe you can tell me what that means. I don't. You know, I always joke that when we signed up for our classes, like, they had somebody with us, and I go up to the thing and it says, so what is it you want to become? I go, yeah, maybe a doctor or a lawyer. Whoa, wait a minute. Come over here. Now, those are good things. You know, I got that lecture. Like, I'm glad they gave me that lecture and stopped me from trying to enroll in those classes. I just wanted to get my degree. I have a degree in organizational communications.
So to be honest, right? So being that I grew up around all of y'all, like, I used to analyze what you guys were going to do after college based upon y'all personalities, right? Notice about you, which is so funny that I find like a lot of things people was like, you was a troublemaker when you was growing up, because y'all, Brian was so quiet. He was like, I used to always hear the coaches be like, you know, Brian's the captain. You can depend on him. Like, my dad was like, out of all of, like, you know, your particular class, like, he was like, you know, Brian, he gonna do right. I could depend on Brian, right? So I would have thought, honestly, like, I could have saw you being like a teacher or maybe even a correspondent, even though I know you don't really like to talk a lot. That's kind of what I thought maybe you would do after college. So it's kind of funny to hear you say that. Which one of your coaches do you feel like changed your game for the better, mentality wise?
I would say Pat Riley, you know, because Miami from Portland, I was basically a post up player defender. And once I got down there, he encouraged me to work on my outside game, you know, being able on the floor at least once or twice to get to the rim, trying to make my jump shot more consistent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely was Riley. And then off the court, professionalism. He's the one that taught me to be professional, that this is a job and we do owe it to our owners.
Yeah, I've heard that he's like one of the good coaches that gets your mentality together. Obviously, Kobe played underneath him. So, you know, I've read his book, and that's one of the things that he talked about, how he really trained your mentality towards the professionalism of basketball. So, okay, you retire at the top of your game. I know you probably thought retirement was like, okay, I'm gonna go play with my kids, we're gonna develop their games, we're just like, but then you get diagnosed with Parkinson's. Like, what was that like for you, you know, just hearing that diagnosis and being so young?
It was devastating. It was nothing short of being, you know, devastating my life and my careers that I thought I would be moving forward in. But at the same time, I had a lot of other things going on. You know, I was going through depression, which was being brought on by the loss of dopamine. Because when you start to have a tremor and you're diagnosed, at that point, over 80% of the dopamine producing cells are already dead. So, the depression, the diagnosis, divorce, you know, it was just one thing after another. But I think with Parkinson's, this disease, it strips away your physicalness, your ability to control your body. And that, I think that made it a little tougher for me, because I was always able to correct my body with a surgery or medication. And so now I'm dealing with something that's going to, over time, slowly take things away. You know, you might win a battle here or here, but the war is already won by Parkinson's unless we find the cure.
And then you're still young at the time, so you have all these life plans, right, that you have to now either, you know, scrap, or you, okay, we got to readjust. Like, what did your plan look like for coping?
The biggest plan that I had to make was with the foundation, because even though it's a foundation, it's a business too, because everybody's fighting for those dollars to fund their programs. And I kind of heard that, but it wasn't until I really started getting into it with the foundation that I realized, man, Coach was right. putting myself out there and introducing myself locally to Parkinson's community that's in the range of my age, so that, you know, I have people to talk to, people that understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so it was like you had to navigate a whole nother community while navigating your diagnosis, essentially. Absolutely. So I know that being a celebrity, do you feel like that helped you a little bit cope, because you had another network also with, you know, other great athletes and celebrities that also, you know, obviously had been diagnosed with Parkinson's? Like, I know they kind of reached out to you a little bit. Do you feel like, you know, that helped, and what kind of words of encouragement did they give you to kind of navigate this new life?
Yeah, the two people that reached out was Lonnie Ali and Michael J. Fox, two different people. Lonnie came at me more like an aunt. Okay, are you eating? Do you call your mom and let her know how you're doing? You know, this disease does not have to be the end of the world. That kind of a talk. And then there was Michael J. Fox, who I'm a big fan of, you know, of his movies. And, you know, as soon as I picked up the phone and heard Marty McFly, I'm like, oh, man, I'm on the phone with Michael J. Fox. And he just gave me a rundown. It wasn't like trying to tell me what to do, just kind of tell me a little bit about his story and asking me what I want to do. And I told him I wanted to join the fight. He goes, but it's okay if you don't. Don't let anybody make you feel like you have to, because if you do, then it becomes a lifelong commitment that'll have its major highs and major lows. And, you know, after those two phone calls, there was no way I was going to sit on the sideline. But as far as being a celebrity, being diagnosed with it, it was a little tough because, you know, it was just hard to get around public trying to hide a tremor. And that's when I decided to go public with it, with Rick Bucher, because I couldn't explain the tremor in anymore.
Yeah.
When you leave your business, do you leave the door unlocked? When facing legal matters in the business world, do not leave your business unprotected. There is help when it comes to business contracting, even collecting past due receivables from clients. An experienced attorney is critical to resolving disputes. Don't do it alone.
At SJS Law Firm, their mission is to partner with clients to help them achieve the business of their dreams and plans with timely and strategic legal advice. Their legal counselors and advisors committed, providing individualized service that is tailored to the unique needs of your business. SJS Law Firm provides the legal support you need to move forward with confidence. Secure the knowledge that you have a legal team watching out for your best interests. Don't leave the door open. Call SJS Law Firm, serving small business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. Call 202-505-5309. That's 202-505-5309. Or find them at the SJSLawFirm.com.
The Like Sunday Collection, where exotic elegance meets luxury. Our collection is a one-stop shop. Whether it's a woman looking for her favorite product line or a husband looking for his own favorite product that he steals from his wife's collection, or you could be shopping for a gift, the Like Sunday Collection is your new favorite one-stop shop. The Like Sunday Collection is a world-class hair care company. Our products are multi-universal and multi-ethnic. Our luxury products are 100% sulfate-free, paraben-free, formaldehyde-free, and DEA-free. Our line of products are the best of the best, from our ingredients to our premium platinum virgin 12 gray A hair. We are the Total Collection. Shop the Total Collection, where exotic elegance meets luxury, at thelikesundaycollection.com. You can also find us on Instagram underneath the Like Sunday Collection. The Like Sunday Collection, where exotic elegance meets luxury. We are the Total Collection.
Yeah, and that obviously, I'm sure it came with a lot of pressure just because you being young, that, you know, the perception of like you should be perfect, nothing should be wrong with you, right? And yeah, that's amazing. And I hope, honestly, maybe you can do the correspondent one day, because I feel like kids out there need to see that, you know, these things don't have to stop you, that anything can be altered in life to shape and mold what you do have to work with, the challenges sometimes that come along with your life. So kudos to you for, you know, still starting a foundation, because I know that could have been like, I'm out of the line, like that's a pressure too. Sometimes they like, well, you know, you need to use your celebrity for good to fight the cause. But sometimes you like, you still navigating, like, I'm still trying to process what's going on with me. I mean, you're a dad of 8. So how do you navigate being a father, running a foundation, your day-to-day care? How do you balance it out?
Well, you know, most of my kids are older, except for my last two who are 5 and 7. They're like being around adults now. They're my caregivers. Mm-hmm. And as far as the foundation goes, I've got a gal running my foundation named Katrina Call. She's the smartest man or woman that I've ever met. She is just very intelligent and very driven. And since she's came on board, you know, there's very little that I have to do for the foundation other than speaking on its behalf and coming to the events. But she runs it, and I give her complete control to run it, because she knows a whole hell of a lot more than I do, you know? So, yeah, she makes everything easy. And she knows my schedule, so she makes sure that she, if there's some very important things that I need to be at, that she puts them on my schedule so there's no conflicts.
So let's talk about your book, Rebound. What can fans find in the book? What was the inspiration behind writing your book, Rebound?
Well, the inspiration was always looking over my life. Now, I'm not just talking about Xavier. I'm talking about growing up in a small town that, you know, I had to deal with, you know, in the 70s and 80s were totally different than the 90s when hip hop took over. You know, everybody went from wearing big hair and listening to Motley Crue to, you know, pants sagging, hats backwards. You know, it was just a different culture in the 90s than it was in the 80s and 70s. So I'd always looked it over and said, man, if this didn't happen to me, I don't know if I would believe it. But if it's true, it's a hell of a story. But I didn't want to write a book until I was ready to tell the whole story, Londa, meaning not just the good, but the bad and the ugly. And I'm going to have to call Jay and get on his butt, because I sent a copy of the book for you and for him. And it's a great read. I mean, I'm not saying it just because it's my book. I hate to read, but I've been through it a couple of times, and people will learn a lot about me, not just me and Parkinson's, but me and my children, my wife, college. Just there's just a lot of good stuff in there.
Good. So I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a book coach and a publisher now as well. So yes, I'm definitely going to read it, even if I got to drive all the way to New York and get it myself. But yes, I appreciate the copy of the book, and I definitely will read it and get back to you and give you good feedback. But y'all go get Brian Grant's book, Rebound. You can purchase it at anywhere books are sold. So what is next for your foundation, and how can people help the cause?
What's next is we're exploring more mental health issues now. That's a big topic, not just with the Parkinson's community, but with the NBA and all sports leagues. People are starting to recognize depression as an illness. And we've started an initiative with the children. We call it Kids of Parkinson's Patients. My two of my sons are on the board. And a couple other people that I know's kids are on there. And it really just gives the kids a forum to be able to communicate with one another about their past, present, past or current dealings with their parent who is dealing with the disease, or dealings with their mother or father who is caregiver to that patient. And so we're really looking forward to rolling that out. And we've also teamed up with Davis Finney, who's rode in the Tour de France, because both of our organizations do similar things together, but we're trying to cross the lines and get together and we're collaborating on things. Absolutely. And that's huge in the foundation game.
Yeah, definitely collaboration and not competition, because this is definitely something that the community definitely needs. I know that anyway, I can help, definitely call on me and lean on me for real, for sure, because I know I've learned even so much more about the disease, and I feel like everybody needs to learn about it, whether you're stricken with it in your family or not, just to have the awareness of what to look for, how you could be on the ground helping in any way possible. So where can our listeners, this is something that I always do with my guests. Mm-hmm. So I call my listeners my becomers, right? Mm-hmm. So if you could speak to someone who was like you at home, what would you say to them to help them leap into their becoming and become their best self? What would your advice be?
I would say to anyone out there who thinks that they may have something wrong with them and it involves a movement, that first of all, it doesn't mean you have Parkinson's. It could be several different things. But if you do get diagnosed with Parkinson's, just know that it's not the end of the world. And we are lucky individuals because we don't get a diagnosis that says, prepare, you know, get your household in order because you're not going to be here in 6 months. That was one of my greatest fears when I was told I have Parkinson's. Even though I knew Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox had it for a long time, I just didn't know. So that's first and foremost. And then secondly, you know, play a role in your own care, because if you go into the neurologist, usually a neurologist will see you and then you don't see him again for 3 to 6 months. So make sure that you have a group of people you're willing to open up to, a group of individuals who are going through the same thing you're going through, and just put together a nice health team along with your caregiver so that it can make things a lot easier. Because the one thing I do a lot is I isolate, and sometimes I get tired of feeling like I'm always telling my kids this is going wrong or that's going wrong. So I'll just keep it to myself. But that's usually when I start going downhill, when I do that crap.
Yeah, I would say that that's a Pisces trait. I do that as well. But I think, yeah, that's true. I can identify with that as well. So thank you so much for coming on. Like literally, this was an honor for sure for me. And I know that someone that is listening, that's tuning in, is definitely gonna be blessed by your testimony. So I appreciate all the work that you're doing beyond the game, because it would have been easy, you know what I'm saying, to isolate and disappear. So I applaud you for always being the person that I know you to be the leader off the court. So definitely thank you so much for coming. Where can people follow you and find you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram at Brian Grant 44. You can also go to briangrant.org to see what the foundation's up to on our website. And there was one other thing I wanted to say before we get off here, just about young people who are out there who have that dream of going to the NBA or, you know, FIFA, MLB, or things like that. You know, my first words of advice is dream, but take it one step at a time. If you're in high school, be the best high school player you can be. And if you get an opportunity to go to college, be the best college player that you can be, and take advantage of that and get your degree. Because I know people who were the best basketball players in high school and college who came on the scene and didn't make it, because it takes skill, but it takes a little bit of luck too. And in my case, there was a lot of luck that came my way. So don't let anybody take your dreams away from you, but just understand and know that you need a contingency plan if that doesn't work for you. And remember, it only works for 440 players a year in the entire world.
440 players internationally. Those are some small numbers.
Exactly.
That's deep. That's really, really, really deep. So I went to pharmacy school and a lady told me, she said, oh, we only pick 90 people to go into the pharmacy program every year. So listen, 90 people to go into a professional career of academia and 436 people internationally. That's deep.
Wow.
Wow. So listen, be the best you could be. That's basically all that I preach and teach here. And as a coach, you know, the becoming coach, that's what becoming is about. Become so that someone else knows it is possible. Thank you for fighting this courageous fight in front of the people. Thank you so very much. Guys, y'all know where to find me. You can find me on Facebook. I Must Become the Number One. Instagram, I Must Become the Number One. And imustbecome.com. You can book. You can do your ignition session if you're ready to leap into your becoming. I'm ready to help you. Listen, you know my motto. Don't do anything for man's opinion, but do everything with man in mind, because we're all an intricate piece of this puzzle that's in this circle called life. Listen, it's never not a time to become. I want to hear stories. We're getting ready to go into the third quarter of the year. You should be activating. You should be ready to leap. Like, you hear the man, he went from not being serious about ball all the way to the NBA and is fighting major battles off the court for not just himself, but other people that are like him. So listen, this is the ultimate becoming story. Remember, don't do anything for man's opinion, but do everything with man in mind, because we are all an intricate piece of the circle of life, Lord. And it's never not a time to become. So listen, leap. It's time to become. I hear you. I see you. I'm rooting for you. So you guys know that you can always find me at Coach Alonda Brooks on Facebook, and I Must Become the Number One on Instagram. And you can always meet me here or beat me here every Sunday at 3 p.m. and leap into your becoming. Thank you. Love y'all. Peace.